Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for making it possible for us to gather again as your people to hear your word of your law, but also your word of the gospel message of your love for us and for all people. Oh Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit as we meditate on that word this morning, that we may clearly understand what it is that you are saying to us, and that through this our lives will be enriched and we can live more faithfully for you. This we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. There are a couple of expressions that I think we all know. At least I hope you do. One of them is, ignorance is bliss. And the other is, there's no excuse from the law. The Apostle Paul talks about that in his epistle lesson today that we read earlier from the epistle, from chapter 7 of Romans. Actually, we're only looking at the first part because you're going to take the next part next time, and I'm going to try not to say too much on that second part. But it all really kind of goes together. You know, we like to think that we are free in this life to pick and choose what we want to do, what we want to, where we want to go, what we're going to eat. We say we can pick our own mates, our own spouse, you know. We can pick which movie we want to go to or which store we want to shop at. All of these things. But sometimes we carry that same attitude of being able to pick and choose over into we are going to pick and choose what Scripture says also, what we want to believe. And that's where we get into trouble. Now, the Scripture readings for today seem to have been pretty heavy on the law side, didn't you think? There's a lot about condemnation and judgment and that, and you know, who is God's true spokesman? And we sometimes like to ignore that. We would much rather hear the sweet gospel sounds that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a beautiful thought. But we really cannot appreciate that thought if we forget the law part. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans. He says in here, "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives." First of all, he is speaking, he says, to men who know the law. These are ones who were brought up in the law of God. In other words, to his fellow Jews who were also in Rome. He says, don't you know, you who know the law, that that law has authority over you only so long as you live? Now, he had a problem within, not only in Rome, but throughout his ministry in Asia Minor and elsewhere, of people confusing the purpose of the law. Because, you see, there were those people from Jerusalem and Judea who came following him and kept saying, Paul's not giving you the full message. He's misleading you. You still have to keep that law. You've got to do that law in order to be saved. And that's what he's talking about here. They have misunderstood that. He says, you know the law. The law has authority over you only so long as you live. But then listen to what he says in here. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. And now Paul comes with the good news. This news about where the law ends for those who know Jesus as their Savior. He says, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. You died to the law. Oh, great, now I don't have to worry about the law. I can do as I please again. No, that's not what he is saying here. He says, you died to the law, but he says, that we might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. in order that we might bear fruit to God. You see, Jesus died to the law for us, not to set us free from living for God, but free from the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death, as Paul ended up the chapter just before that in chapter 6. He says, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's unfortunate that they didn't begin that reading for today by tying in a little bit with last Sunday's epistle reading. It would help give us better focus on this. Because you see, in baptism, which Paul talks about in the 6th chapter, we were buried with Christ, and so we were buried with him into his death. But we were also raised with him through baptism into his life. And why? He says here, so that we can bear fruit to God. So you see, the law still serves a purpose for us, but it no longer can condemn us because we have died to the demands of the law. We no longer have to bring our righteousness before God because the righteousness and perfection of Christ took our place on that cross and there suffered our judgment under our sins on our behalf. So that now through Christ, we are declared free from the curse of the law. We don't have to be afraid of death. Does that mean I'm not going to die? No. We know that that part of the thing is there, but we do not have to fear death. We do not have to fear the curse of the law because, you see, we will live with Christ forever. That is what God has promised to us. Now, sometimes people get a little confused on this, and Paul goes into this talking a little bit more about it down here. He says, "For when we were controlled by our sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death." What's he saying here is that when we were controlled by our sinful nature, before we had been born again through faith in Christ Jesus through our baptism, we were then subject to the law. And what was our reaction to the law? I know that that's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyhow because I want to. We want to do what comes naturally according to our sinful nature. But you see, we have been given a new nature in Christ, so that we no longer want to do that. And that battle goes on throughout our earthly life. That struggle is a lifelong battle. For some people, they tell me it gets a little easier later on in life. I haven't experienced that yet. I still struggle with that every day. And what Paul will tell you next Sunday, the good I want to do that I find myself not doing, the evil that I don't want to do, this is what I find doing. But you see, we have to remember what God has done for us in Christ. We are freed from the curse of the law, not so that we can live as we please, but now we are to bear that fruit unto God. Now that by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And oh, that is so precious. Now the law, instead of becoming our taskmaster, that which is driving us by the whip and says, you must do this or you're going to get punished, now our law serves as a guide. It shows us a way in how we can serve God and know that we are doing the right thing. So now we are free to serve God, not having to worry about the consequences of what we do, as long as we are doing it, seeking to obey God and to follow his word. And if we use the law of God, the good old Ten Commandments, we can never go wrong. I had a lot of fun in confirmation class, and that's been a few years since I've taught confirmation class. But I, in spite of some of the struggles that I had with some of the children that I had to deal with, it was a real joy because you could teach them what the purpose of the law was. And these kids, you know, they knew what the law was saying, but they didn't like the law. It took all the fun out of life. And I asked them a question. How many of you play sports? Just about every hand in there would go up. You know, we all play sports. Okay, what kind of sports do you play? Well, you know, football, soccer, volleyball, all these different things. And what guides you in that play? Well, there are the rules of the game. Well, aren't those laws? Yes. And is it any fun if somebody keeps changing the rules on you as you're playing? No, it's no fun. Well, then, let's look at God's law in the same way. God has given us his rules of life, and we are to follow those rules if we want to serve him. And he shows us how we can do this with joy and get the most out of life, because we don't have to worry about the judgment of God. That's been taken care of in Jesus. Now we are free to serve him, but we want to do it, and he wants us to do it by following his rules. And you see, that's what God expects of us in here, and that's what he's saying here in Romans. Now, Paul dealt with this in just a slightly different way here. Starting out in verse 7, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Far from it. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law." In other words, that law tells us what is sinful and wrong, what to avoid. "For I would not have known what it is to covet if it had not said, 'Do not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." Isn't that the truth? Especially when we're younger. We tell our children, "Don't do that," and what do? "I'm going to do it anyhow. I got to check this out." We're told not to do something. We want to check it out. We've got to. And it produces all, because I want to be free. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own woman. I want to be myself. When we don't realize that by this we're making ourselves Satan's self, we're putting ourselves back under the law. That's what he's saying here. And that way leads to death. But when we say, "No, that is not the way God wants me to live. That is not how a child of God lives," then we are doing that which pleases God. And we can live in joy and not have to worry about that curse of the law. Luther often gets misquoted when he says, how is that now? Basically, sin boldly. You know, and that doesn't mean sin with confidence. It means, okay, be a child of God, live boldly, seek to serve God. But if in that process you are sinning, then recognize what is sinful and wrong, and through confession and forgiveness, that is forgiven too. You see, if we don't try to live for God, how can we boldly live for God? I have had to struggle with that sometimes. I have the habit of putting my foot in my mouth, as my wife knows. And I sometimes, when I get talking to a person about Christ or faith, I clam up, because I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing and only make matters worse, because that has happened so often in the past. But that's not what Luther's saying, sin boldly. And I have to remember, no, you speak and trust that God is going to guide you and lead you in what you're saying, but always speak it in a spirit of love. And that is the spirit. You know, the good old German ancestry man comes out. And I like to get very confident in my statements, and I come across as very harsh and condemning, when that's not what I want. And you have to put this in a way, but that is still wrong. And I'm not saying this to condemn you, because I'm not the one who can condemn you. Only God can do that. And God's law tells us what is wrong. And this is the way we can overcome that. So we need to have that. We want to live boldly for Christ. And that is what Paul goes on here. He says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, who makes you sons. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" I'm sorry, but I sort of went over into next Sunday's sermon again, or epistle lesson. But you know, we need to remember that, because for if we live according to our sinful nature, then we're putting ourselves back under that. But we have to live according to our spiritual nature in Christ. The law, yes, is very harsh, very demanding. The law tells us, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And Jesus put it this way, "Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect." He says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Scripture says, "There's not a just man upon earth that does good and never sins." Yes, we are sinners. But you see, by the grace of God, we are forgiven sinners. And even though that sinful nature still shows it to us, we are here this morning as sinners who know the grace and mercy of God, washed in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now the good news is that heaven is ours. And it does not depend on what we do. It depends totally and completely, 100%, on what God has done for us in Christ our Savior. And now we can only live lives that show that confidence, that we know we are saved children of God. We will live for him in all that we do, and using that law of God now as a means of guiding us into doing that which is right and pleasing to our Lord. May God enable you to do that at all times and in each and every day of your life. And you will meet many occasions to share that love of God in many different ways. May God's Spirit guide you so that you will do that in a spirit of love and of rejoicing in the salvation that is there for all people in Christ Jesus, the Savior of all. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, unto life, life everlasting. Amen.